All right, it is good to see everyone on this October 8th, 2023, and we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 and 16, and the scripture today is God's power in His spoken word, and we're going to examine that, and we're going to examine how powerful the spoken word of God is, and then we're going to look at the principle that we have been created in God's image. And we've been given the unique gift to verbalize, audibilize our inner thoughts, feelings, and intentions just like God. It's part of us being created in the image of God, and how powerful our own spoken words are and their effect on us, on others, and even on God Himself, as we've seen that the Lord inhabits or makes His presence known when I praise Him audibly before the Lord. But as we begin today, I'm going to open us up with a word of prayer for the war that has begun and been waged on the nation of Israel. And as we assemble today, myself as a child of God, that there are things that pierce my heart. We may even look at the scripture today where it says to take not the Lord's name in vain. When I hear someone say that, that pierces my heart. As I awakened yesterday morning and saw the live news reports from Israel, you know, my heart was pierced and my spirit is burdened. I, as an individual, feel such a great debt to the nation of Israel, as I have been blessed almost 40 years to make a living with the Word of God that is 99% given Holy Spirit inspired through Israelites from the Old Testament to the New Testament. As Paul said, we receive the oracles of God. And my Savior and my Lord and my very best friend, the Messiah of Israel, the Savior of the world, my Lord Jesus Christ, His lineage is through David and the nation of Israel. And He was sent here first to the nation of Israel to establish the kingdom or to offer the kingdom of God. And so the Judeo-Christian foundation of our lives and of our nation, our morals, our Ten Commandments, our Constitution, our law, our moral law based on the Ten Commandments, the way we conduct our government, our democracy, many of that has biblical roots within it. And for many, many years, we have been a friend to Israel. America has been a friend to Israel. However, prophetically, we know that at some point, all nations will turn against Israel, every nation. And I'm not going to get into Ezekiel's prophecies today. However, what is unfolding, though, is prophetic. And Hezbollah, Hamas, they are financed. They are offshoots of the nation of Iran. America gave Iran $6 billion 2 months ago and told them to use it only for humanitarian efforts. And again, we were lied to. It's just every day we get lied to. But the spirit of Antichrist is the spirit of deception. It's the spirit of lies. And so we are complicit in what has happened to Israel yesterday, and that just greatly burdens my heart. America needs a national day of prayer. America needs a national repentance. America needs to turn to God. America needs to truly be a friend of Israel, and we're not. So I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer, I'll ask the Holy Spirit to guide me. Father, we call on You today. I first call on You today for the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that are in the land. Not all the land, not yet. Lord Jesus, one day they will dwell in the land within the original boundaries You promised unto Abraham. So, Father, I grab hold of that. And Father, those interlopers, those that are there, those that want to divide the land, they will be done away with, destroyed, defeated. And Father, right now I pray for the Israelites that are mourning the slaughter of their family members mercilessly by hatred and evil. Father, I pray for those that are hospitalized critically, thousands. Father, I pray for their healing in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for those, we don't know the number, hundreds upon hundreds that have been taken hostage by these evil men. And Father, they are for sure being tortured and murdered and killed. And so, Father, I pray for the individual first. I pray for miraculous deliverances and lives to be saved and healed by the power of Jehovah God, the God of Israel, my God. Father, I pray for the nation of Israel for protection from these attacks and for victory over this enemy, these enemies. Father, I pray your mighty angels to fight. And Lord Jesus, I pray that every American that hears this service today or this message will join me in praying daily for the nation of Israel. We'll make it a consistent part of our prayer life. We owe your chosen people your plan to reach the world through them. We owe so much. And Father, forgive us. Forgive us for the ignorance, for the evil that exists within this nation. The carelessness that exists within this nation. And Father, lead America in repentance and in every area in which we need to be to repent, Father. That would be ours. And Father, I ask that you bless the study of your word today and lift us up in power unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The power of God's spoken word. The power that is in His spoken word. And in Hebrews chapter 13, we are said in verse 15, by Christ let us offer up the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto His name. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. This is the Hebrews understood this. This is a direct quote out of Hebrews 14, verse 4, where it's called the calves of our lips. So I want you to understand God's perspective when He hears you speak out loud. It's as if you're offering a sacrifice up to Him. And you are speaking up to Him. And we've been studying praise. And in praise, the focus is on who God is, not what He has given us. I want to praise God that He has saved my soul. I want to thank God that He has saved my soul. But I want to praise Him that He is my Savior. I want to thank God that He has given me life. But I want to praise Him that He's my Creator. I want to thank God that He has befriended me and that He loves me, but I want to praise God that He's my friend. And so it takes us deeper into our intimate relationship with Him, because you can't really have a deep relationship just based on what somebody does for you. It gets deeper when you know more about who the person is. And so praise takes us deeper into that. And so we study that. But now today, Since praise, and in this situation, it's talking about that one-on-one audible uplifting of our voice unto God, I want to share with you a couple of principles. Number one, there's power in the spoken word. And we're going to see that in a moment. It begins with God. Number two, there's connection between our heart and our voice that God recognizes and looks for. A connection between our heart and our voice that God looks for and recognizes. And I want us to gain an understanding of our unique, God-given, and God-like ability to speak out audibly our inner thoughts and feelings. Now that is God-like. You've been created in the image of God. And this is a huge part of us being created in the image of God, the vastness and the intricacies of communication. And that we are unique in our ability to speak out our thoughts and our feelings to others and to be able to communicate them and unto God and unto ourselves. But first of all, let's look at the power of the spoken word of God. So go with me to Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to begin in the beginning. And I'm going to share with you the first three verses. And I'm not going to read to you the entire story of creation, but I want you to understand this, and then I want you to see the seriousness of the spoken word. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as I call on you for this message today, I ask for forgiveness of daily sin, the filth I confess unto you out loud when we're alone, as 1 John tells me to in chapter 1. So that I can be cleansed by your blood. But Father, I repeat it before those that are listening to me today here in this building on this website. For Father, we all need to know that that men need forgiveness. And Father, I can't do this. I have to be cleansed by your blood and anointed by your Spirit. So I ask for that, to be filled with your Spirit to bring you glory. And Father, to decrease me to wash the feet of these listening in humility so that they can receive from your word, your scriptures, help and strength, wisdom and guidance, victory can be found in truth. So Father, just use me as a vessel. But may your Holy Spirit speak to all the hearts that are listening. And may your Spirit be their perfect teacher today. And may we open our hearts to hear what you would say to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now you know the story of creation. In verse 3, said, God said, let there be light, and there was light. So I want you to know, and God said, let there be trees and herbs and flowering plants, and there was. And God said, let there be creatures in the sea, and there was. And God said, let there be animals that crawl upon the earth, and there was. And God said, let's make man in our own image, and he did. These are called the creative commands of God, and they were spoken out loud, where it says, God said, let there be light. There was light. So he spoke out into the atmosphere. And we know of sound waves and reverberations, and we know of echoes. And so this unique part of creation, you're hearing someone speak right now. There is power in the spoken word. And for God, there is the very power of creation in the universe in what he spoke out loud. God said, and there was. Go with me to Psalm 33. And we want to celebrate the spoken word of God, that God spoke out in power. He's given us this unique ability to do the same thing, to speak out. God spoke out His intentions, His plan in creation. In Psalm 33, verse 6, it says this, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth." So He wasn't speaking within His mind. The breath of His mouth. There was audible movement that came out of the Godhead in the creation of the universe. A great sound went forth. God spoke out and the earth came into being. And then in verse 9 it says this, "For He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast." It held together. All things are held together. I'm going to take you there in a moment by the spoken word of God. But He spoke out and it was done in verse 6. So I want you to write something down. Cause and effect. God spoke and it was done. That's cause and effect. God spoke and it was done. Because you're going to see this works in your life. Cause and effect. And then it says in verse 9, "For He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast." It all was held together and in order. So go with me to the book we've been studying, the book of Hebrews chapter 1. And look what's pointed out in the very first verses. And in Hebrews chapter 1. It says this, verse 1, "God, who at sundry times and in times past has spoken to us by the prophets." Verse 2, "In these last days has spoken to us by His Son." In verse 3, "His Son is the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person." But notice this, the Son upholds all things by the word of His power. I want you to understand, the world goes on, the universe goes on, the planets are in orbit, the stars are in their place, the seasons come and go. By the power of the Word of God, He not only creates, He sustains, and that word sustain implies movement, and movement forward, and movement in order. So it is the spoken Word of God that keeps all things in order and moving, and days and times and the moon and the sun and the earth as it rotates upon its axis. And I want you to understand, my God is so powerful, He can say the word and it all can come to a stop. So we bow before Him in the power of the spoken word. And in His infinite knowledge, He decided that the power of creation would be accomplished by His audible spoken word. Go with me to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. When Jesus stood at the tomb of Lazarus, there were any number of ways He could have rose him from the dead, or arose him from the dead. But you know, you say, "I wish I had been there to hear the word of God, the voice of God when He created the universe." What did that sound like? Hold that thought for just one moment. In John chapter 11, verse 43, when Jesus got to the tomb, it says, "And when He had thus spoken to Mary and Martha and the group that was around, and when He had thus spoken out loud the prayer that He made unto the Father in heaven," verse 41, "I thank You that You have heard Me. I knew You heard Me, but I said this so these people standing by will know You heard Me and believe I'm the one You sent." And in verse 43, "When He had thus spoken all that out loud, He cried with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth,' and he that was dead came forth." He cried with a, "Lazarus heard the voice of God and came out of his grave." And you say, "Boy, that's an amazing thing. Kind of wish I'd been Lazarus." that I could have heard the voice of God and come out of my grave. Well, I want you to understand something. This not only actually happened to Lazarus, but it's a prophetic movement for us. Go with me to John chapter 5. Just back up to John chapter 5. And I want you to understand the power of the Word of God. In the spoken Word of God. When He speaks out loud, cause and effect. In John chapter 5. Verse 26. He says, "For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself, and hath given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice." All that are in the grave shall hear His voice. The bodies of those in the graves are going to hear His voice. And notice what they're going to hear His voice out loud. It's not just going to happen. They're going to hear His voice. The voice of God is a trump. And it says this, "And they shall come forth," and they that have done good in whatever dispensation that they have lived in under the resurrection of life, and then later, they that have done evil under the resurrection of damnation. But the bodies will come out of the grave as a result of hearing the audible voice of God. Go with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. What power in the audible voice of God, and we, being created in the image of God, also have been given audible voices. In John chapter 1, it says this, "In the beginning was the Word, Logos, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him," who? The Word, Logos. "And without Him was not anything made that was made. All creation was done by the Word, Logos." And in verse 14, we understand the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We know the Word then as Jesus, the Son of God. And so the second person of the Godhead, Jesus, before creation and at the moment of creation, is described as Logos, the Word. And Logos means the act of speaking outwardly, thought and intelligence and intent. The act of speaking outwardly, thought and intelligence and intent. Communication. The inward mind, the thoughts, the plans, and the intentions of God were spoken out, and we see the power that resulted in creation, cause and effect. The heart of God, the mind of God, and how to create and what was to be created. The heart of mind and mind of God, and how the universe was to continue and to flow and to move, was spoken out loud. So we see the heart, the mind, and then the slash there, and the voice connection. And so we've been created in the image of God. So I've spoken to you about the power of God's spoken Word. Now I want to talk to you about the power of your spoken Word. How you can express your thought, your intentions, your plans, your heart. So go with me to Matthew chapter 15, and I want you to notice how important this is to God. Matthew chapter 15, verse 7. The scripture says this, "You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Boy, that's serious, Melissa. They honor me with their mouth and with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Have you ever been in a Sunday morning religious service and you could just tell the people are singing the song, but their heart's not in it? The people are praying the prayers, but it's really not what they feel in their heart. This is serious business in the eyes of the Lord. And it is serious business in the way God speaks to us. If you'll turn with me, turn back with me to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. In verse 8, that's where we are. We'll bump down to verse 16, and he says this to the disciples: "Are you also yet without understanding? Do you not understand that whatsoever enters in the mouth goes into the belly?" They're talking to him about what you eat. They're saying what you take in your mouth is a real serious thing, and the Lord's saying, "No, it's not," concerning dietary laws. He's saying those things that come out of your mouth, that come out of your heart, defile the man. It's not about what comes in, Cameron. It's what's going out that's already in there. Thoughts of murders, adulteries. Verse 20, these are the things which defile a man. But whether you eat washing your hands, that's not defiling a man. And jump back with me to Matthew chapter 12 and let me show you how serious this is. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33 says this. It says, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For a tree is known by its fruit." And what did the Hebrew writer say? "Offer up the word of praise, the fruit of our lips." That's how God looks at it. "O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." Every idle word that a man shall speak, you will give an account. That idle means useless or chaff. We'll give an account of the words we speak. Some folks are habitual liars. They lie to themselves, they lie to others, they lie to God. They say things they don't mean. Some folks can get so good at this, they're not even convicted of the lying spirits that's within them. The next time we're together, I'm going to get into speaking the truth or speaking lies. And the Antichrist, you're going to see, it's all lies. You know, I've heard a lot of politicians stand up and say, "We support Israel. We support Israel fully. You gave $6 billion to their enemy 6 weeks ago to buy the bombs and the missiles that are now destroying them. We support Israel." What does the psalmist say? They say they are for peace, but they are for war. "I love you." Well, you really hate me. "We want you to be here." No, you want us destroyed. But what I want you to understand here, look at what he says. "Every idle word you shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned." By your words, you shall be justified. Now, I want you to understand, there are times when a child of God says things that are wrong, or says things that are mean-spirited, or says things that are untruthful, or a lie, or whatever. Well, you can go to the Lord and get cleansed of that. But when we're talking about lost people that don't know Jesus, when you get to the great white throne judgment and the books are opened, every idle word that has been spoken will be replayed, because they have not abided in or put on the righteousness of God, which is Christ Jesus. That's a scary, scary thing. But I want to show you something before I get to the positive. I'm going to share some more of this. Go to Exodus chapter 20, to the Ten Commandments. And I want you to understand something. I said earlier, what pierces my heart and what pierces my soul. And in Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, look at what he says. He says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." It's one of the Ten Commandments. "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. That means profane or false swearing in using the name of the Lord, to swear on and then to use God's name. It also means rash swearing or profanity. And I want you to understand something. You know, there are folks that use the Lord's name in a profane way. Some folks that I've known, and if I would sit down and count, maybe 100 times a day. And I mean, that just pierces your heart. It becomes a part of their everyday vocabulary. And then you can apply this to blaspheming the name of the Lord, mocking the name of the Lord. We have comedians in America that make a living mocking the name of the Lord, mocking Christianity. And again, I feel like that one thief on the cross, and you want to cry out, do you not fear God? Do you not fear the Lord? And I was watching a college football game yesterday, and I could read the coach's lips at one point, and he took the name of the Lord in vain. And I sat there saying, you know, I had one coach in particular that did it 12 times of practice, along with some other words. And I'm going to tell you something. We have denigrated into a society where, yeah, you know, you can listen sometimes. You can see these riots that are going on in the street and these things that are being said and the way people are spitting on the face of police officers and all these things. And so, you know, when I prayed a few moments ago about America needing to repent, there is definitely a need in so many areas for America to repent. But understand, every idle word that is spoken, every curse word, every profanity, every lie, every situation that has not been repented of by a child of God is going to cause a loss of reward. And every lost person is going to have the whole thing before them as the books are opened. And so there's this connection between the heart and the mind and the voice, or the fruit of our lips. And it can be a crucially devastating thing. Or it can be a supernatural positive thing. So let's go back to salvation. Go to Romans chapter 10 and look at what the scripture says about the fruit of our lips. And we bring in another element. Look at what it says. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says this: if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So you believe in the heart and you confess with the mouth, and you'll be saved. Two elements, and it's tied into your faith. You're believing in your heart. It's the heart, the mind, the faith, and the confession of the mouth. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What does that mean, Brother Leo? That means that someone's really saved. If someone really gets indwelt, if God really sees saving faith in their heart, he sends to them, based on Paul's writings in Galatians, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes into their heart, and they have a desire of the Spirit. In Romans 10, it says this, in Romans 8, to cry out, Abba, Father, I am now a child of God, to speak that out and to confess, I have been saved by Jesus. And I believe the next step is a burning desire is putting in their heart to be publicly water baptized to tell the world that they are a child of God in a public declaration. As Billy Graham says, do you deny me before men? I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. But if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. Any true saving faith results in a desire born by the Holy Spirit within an individual to confess and speak out their salvation. When people say unto me, oh yeah, blah, 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 but I don't talk about my religion, your religion is false. If you can't tell somebody, the Lord has saved me, I can't share this. I might share it afterwards. But it was a beautiful thing I received this week that speaks to this. But what I want you to understand, I want you to understand, with the heart, that's faith. With the mouth, there's confession, cause and effect. What happens in your heart is going to cause you to speak it out of your mouth. If it doesn't, it hasn't happened in your heart. And so that's what he's saying there. Salvation, prayer, intercession, what it, thanksgiving, praise, confession. The fruit of the lips comes from the heart. Go with me to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Let me show you again the faith and in the heart and in the mouth connection. In Mark chapter 11, verse 22, Jesus says this, have faith in God. Have faith in God. And then he says this, verse 23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. So believe fully in your heart and then say out loud to whatever mountain you're dealing with in your life, whatever obstacle, whatever attack, whatever is coming against you, be removed, be cast in the sea, get behind me, Satan, remove this out of my life, Lord. Anyone that believes in their heart and speaks this out loud, it shall come to pass. And you will possess what you have spoken out loud, as long as it's in the will of God. God doesn't want you defeated. God doesn't want you discouraged. God doesn't want you in a bad way. So we can speak these things, believing in our heart, claiming them out loud. And God says, I will do it. Faith speaks out loud. Now, I'm not giving you some kind of name it, claim it gospel. What we're talking about is something for the glory of God, something done in God's will, something that the Lord is purposing in our heart. But I want to take it a step further in Proverbs chapter 18. So go with me to Proverbs 18. And I want you to understand the power of the spoken word in your life. Proverbs 18, verse 20 says this, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, similar to what Jesus said, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled, spiritually, emotionally, mentally. What you say affects you. That's what it means. What you speak out loud affects you. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And in the King James it says, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And what the phrase actually means, they that, you know, speak a lot of unprofitable words or just run off at the mouth all the time. They don't say things that are purposeful or constructive. they're going to eat the fruit thereof. But I want you to understand, death and life are in the power of the tongue, in the power of the spoken word. And it, look at what it says. The increase of your lips is what affects you on the inside. You can speak death or life to your own self, destruction or fullness and abundance. You can speak discouragement or joy. You can speak hate or love. You can be filled up with hate. You can tear yourself down or you can build yourself up. You know, you can say, I'm a child of God. I am loved by Him. You know, there is power in the spoken word in the way it affects you. And I'll share with you in the way it affects God's relationship to you in a moment. But I want you to understand there is power in the things that you say. There are people I talk to. Patty has a pet peeve. And wherever we are, especially in the service industry, and this has happened in some of the restaurants in Nashville, Florence, even around here. When folks come up to the table, we'll say, how are y'all doing? And they'll say, well, I'm here. And Patty always says, if I owned a restaurant, I would train my employees to say, I am having a great day and I hope you are too. Well, I'm here. Yeah, you know? And that's how a lot of people look at life. How are you doing? Well, I'm here. Well, I'm making it. Well, I'm having a bad day. Really? That's, you understand, that's a relative statement. What do you mean relative? You're probably not having as bad a day as those poor Israelis that are being tortured by maniacal extreme terrorists right now. You're having a bad day based on your circumstances of being blessed more than 99.9% of the world's population. The plumbing went out. Their houses got blown to smithereens. You can speak the positivity. You can speak. Go to Psalm 22. We studied it. It affects God. The way you speak affects God. Psalm 22, look at what it says. You want to feel the presence of God? You want to feel the filling of the Holy Spirit? You want to feel closeness and intimacy with God? Look what Psalm 22 verse 3 says. But thou art holy, O you that inhabits the praises of the nation of Israel. God dwells in your praising. When I'm praising Jesus, God responds by making His presence more fully known unto me. In fellowship and communion, I can sense the closeness and the intimacy more if I lift up praise unto Jesus for who He is. Thanksgiving unto Jesus for what He's done. Woe is me in the prayer closet. And can you imagine? I can't remember who I was speaking with or where I was, but it wasn't even about the Israel situation. But I said, you know, God's looking down on all this. You know, when I think about my own life, I mean, am I really complaining about this? God is looking down at what has ruined my day. You know, it's almost like a Taylor Swift song. He wrote a note to another girl and 500 million people want to go to her concert. She's so deep. She is so deep, I don't get her. Wow. You get 4 tries to get 10 yards. God help America. Yeah, and I'm serious. I'm serious. But you know, God looks down at my life at times and says, Leo, You are so blessed. You are so blessed. I want you to praise me in this. I want you to count your blessings in this. And so what we say out loud affects God in the way and in the holiness, in His own holiness, in the way He can respond and interact to us. Go with me to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. I want to walk with Jesus. I want to be in communion with Jesus. I want to be in fellowship with Jesus. I want to be in intimacy with my best friend. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, he says this: "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and we are walking in habitual darkness, we are lying." Here we go again, speaking a lie, and we are not saying the truth. And then John goes on to say this: "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light," if we're going to have fellowship one with another, "the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, is what cleanses us of all sin. If we say we have no sin, if we live a life never confessing unto God, we're telling God, 'God, I don't have sin. I'm not dealing with sin.' We deceive ourselves," and here we go again, "the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and then we can walk in fellowship with the Lord and praise him and experience the manifestation of his presence." I think I taught on Wednesday night, you know, the reality of the presence of God. You know, there have been times in my life that I have experienced being enveloped in the peace of God. And I realize the scripture describes it as being filled with the Spirit. I'm sure I am filled with the Spirit, but I feel as though I'm enveloped in the presence of God. We're to have this. We're to have this experience. And we can speak out. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5 and look what the scripture says. You are indwelt by the Spirit when you get saved. You may even be filled with the Spirit at the moment of salvation. But in Ephesians 5, it says this in verse 18: "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." So why is the comparison made there? It's talking about an outside agent, wine. When you come under the influence of wine, you have taken in so much that it affects your thoughts, it affects your emotions, affects your speech, and all of these things. And so he's saying that we are to be filled with the Spirit. We're to allow the Spirit, at certain times, we're to seek the Spirit to fill us. And then here we go again, verse 9. "Your voice, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." God desires to hear our voice. I believe God desires to hear the voice of nations. I believe it'd be a wonderful thing if America declared tomorrow a national day of prayer for the nation of Israel, that every church in America should be open on Wednesday at 12 o'clock. And if you're in the workplace, one of the employees should lead a word of prayer for America. These things have happened in our past where presidents have declared national days of prayer. I believe the governor should declare a state day of prayer in the state of Tennessee. Ask all the clergy to open the churches Wednesday or Thursday at 12 o'clock. God notices these things. And he notices these things in our lives. Every idle word that we can speak out to God praise, or we can speak out condemnation. And so, I was listening to a praise song the other day where the female that was singing the song said, "I praise you, Jesus, I'm walking in green pastures with you." And I said, I love that line. I'm walking in green pastures with you, based on the 23rd Psalm. And I've started saying that out loud to him. You know, I got a text this morning. I can read this one that says this. Good morning, Dad. Feeling like fall. He is in Richmond this morning. Love you and praying hard for you in the service this morning. Hope you and Mom have a blessed, blessed day in Jesus. He has been so, so good, capital G-O-O-D, to us. I love you. You can just speak that out loud in any way, form, or fashion. Let me close out with Psalm 145. And let me show you, you know, what do we talk about? Politics? What do we talk about? Television show? Yeah, do we never speak out about the Lord and His goodness? And notice how this psalm, this is David, it speaks about speaking out loud. I got this morning with Patty, and you know, I said, man, praise Jesus for the beauty of this day. And we can share these things one with another. Psalm 145, verse 1, it says, I will extol thee, my God. That's to speak positive and praise. O King, I will bless your name forever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Lord, your greatness is unsearchable, even in my life. One generation shall praise thy works to another, look here, and shall declare, that means to declare audibly, your mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty. I will speak of your wondrous work. Verse 6, men shall speak of your wondrous and terrible and valiant acts. I will declare your greatness. They shall abundantly utter, here's another speak word to utter, the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. So you see in those verses all these public, outspoken declarations about God. What is wrong with America? God should be praised in the street. He should be praised in Congress. He should be praised in the White House. He should be praised in the governor's mansion. He should be praised at every press conference that a leader in America has, thanking God for the blessings upon America. Out loud. I really believe when I stand before the judgment, it may be those words that were spoken in one of the letters in the Church of Revelation. I have somewhat against you, Leo, and you have fallen down in certain areas, but you have not denied my name. That's one thing I can get right. I am not going to deny his name, and I am not going to not support his chosen nation of Israel. Amen. And that's something we can do. And speak it out publicly. And America's silence is deafening. In all these areas, for the last 20 years or so, never 39 plus years ago when I entered the ministry did I think I'd see the prophecy speeding up in its fulfillment. But notice what he goes on to say in verse 10. He goes, all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. Verse 11, they shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom. And here we go again. And talk about your power to make known the sons of men, his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. What the children of Israel had always put commemorative stones where the Jordan parted. Different areas. And what meaneth these stones? Well, when your children ask, you tell them. That's why we're where we are today. One generation that never heard about God. It's a parent's responsibility to talk about the power of God in their own lives. Grandparents' responsibility to talk about God in their own lives and about the truth of the Word of God. Verse 21 just puts the exclamation, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. Power. And let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever. We have been created in the image of God with this unique God-given ability to speak out our inner thoughts and inner feelings. And this has the power to affect us, to strengthen our faith, to bless others, and also to lead us in our communion with God. What I say can either take me closer into His presence or drive me further away from Him. That's something. I want to wake up every morning opening that door of communion. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord, you've been so good to me, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm going to ask you to just bow your head and close your eyes for a moment and just think a few moments about your words. Speaking out loud. How they can affect you, how they can affect others, how they can affect God, and say, Lord, lead me into more and more praise. Thank you for letting me speak, giving me this ability, and for the power of the spoken word.